This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So a little more bumps and bruises than the office?
Nothing. Oh, it's very similar. Okay. It's lots of... bumps and bruises. It is, honestly, it is completely... I never thought in a million years I'd be doing anything like this. It's crazy. And just so much fun. I mean, I'm in an action guy now, so that's going to be my new career path. I'm going to get really bulked up and just do action movies.
So you see yourself as the next Schwarzenegger?
Oh, without a doubt. I think I've already taken that mantle.
I've heard through Variety and reported that they're coming after you for Terminator 4. Is this true?
We've already shot it. It's already in the can, and I've been shooting it on the weekends when I'm not doing this or the office. But yeah, it's just fun. I mean, and I say that to Anne every day, that we're like, what? How the heck did we end up in this? This is... Thank you. Oh, commercial for Crystal Geyser? I'm sure there are sponsors. I'll palm it so you can't see what kind of water I'm drinking. No, it's just really, really fun and very silly. But one of the things that I wanted to do was have my initial sort of pitch when they were talking about tone with this was that it be sort of a comedic Bourne Identity. That was tonally what I was hoping for. And I think so far it's kind of hitting that. So we'll see.
You've also played a lot of guys in suits, whether they're anchormen or office workers or secret agents. What do you think is this predilection towards suits?
Well, first of all, I sleep in a suit. That's just me personally. I have 80, 90 suits in my closet, and that's all I wear. I don't know. You know, because I went from The Daily Show, where I was a fake news guy on a fake news show, to Bruce Almighty, where I played a news guy, to Anchorman, where I played a news guy. I tend to gravitate to suits. I don't know. Apparently people just want to see me in a suit, because clearly they don't want to see me in the nude, so probably a suit is the best bet.
So, obviously you've been going from The Office to Evan Almighty to back to The Office to this. You shot another movie with Dane Cook.
Cook and Juliette Binoche and me. That is, when you put those, no one would ever think to put those three names together. But yeah, we shot that in the fall in Rhode Island.
So how are you doing? But how are you doing it all without just collapsing? I mean,
it's really not. I guess the secret is it's not that hard, but people complain about it a lot. But frankly, you know, we show up and we have a 100-foot trailer with a bed in it where you can take a nap, and you have people who will get you food. It's really, really cushy. So I wouldn't even think to begin to complain about overworking. And frankly, I also know I'm always the sort of guy who's always waiting for the other shoe to drop. So when it does, I want to have done as much work as I could have possibly done in that time period. And I want to do good stuff, but you know, I just don't want to, you know, do a bunch of crap and, you know, make a lot of money. But I also know that, you know, it could all disappear tomorrow. So I'm just sort of trying to enjoy it in the day. But it's, you know, it's been fun. And they've all been very different kind of movies, too. Like the Evan Almighty was this huge sort of epic thing and lots of hair and makeup every day. And then Dan in Real Life, the movie with Dane and Juliet, was a romantic comedy, which was much more low-keyed and... And then this is somewhere in between, you know. Action comedy, I guess you'd call it. But yeah, they're all different. And so, no, I haven't. And my kids run me ragged. So that's really the most tiring part of my life.
How would you compare a 3 and a 6-year-old. Your Max to the original?
The original's better.
Wow.
That's all I'll say. How could I compare them?
What did you want to do with the character?
I'll tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to do an impression of Don Adams. I don't want to channel him, but I want to do the character justice. Because I think a mistake, and I was talking to Leonard Stern about this, and when I came into it, I don't want him to be... Is that... Is my light not so good? I don't want him to... Maxwell Smart character to be perceived as sort of a bumbling idiot. He's not a Inspector Clouseau. He's proficient, and he can take care of himself. And he sort of gets the job done counterintuitively, but he gets the job done. In the original series, he could fight, and he wasn't an idiot, but he was certainly eccentric, and he was very, very much a by-the-book, straight-laced sort of guy. And that's more of the tack I'm taking. That's the approach that I think will sort of set it apart from being a spy spoof, which I never really saw the original series as. I don't think it's a spy spoof.
What do you think it is?
I think it's a spy comedy, but I don't think it's necessarily. I don't think it's spoofing the whole idea of spies. It was more, in my opinion, a comment on the Cold War and international relations and, you know, that sort of thing. But in terms of the movie specifically, I really didn't want it to be perceived of it as a spoof. I think spoofs as a genre have been done and done well, but that's not what I was interested in doing. I thought if these characters sort of exist in a semi-real environment, you know, sort of a parallel universe that might exist on some level, I think then the comedy will be funnier. If there's actually there's a sense of jeopardy and a sense that the bad guys really are bad guys and not just cartoons, I think there's more to be mined from that.
We saw in the scene you were shooting today there is an issue of timing the joke with the action. Has
right.
that been difficult for you?
There's so many people involved with something like that. That big explosion, obviously I have no control over delivering the line and having something explode behind me exactly on cue. And that just speaks to the fact that those guys really know what they're doing. And we did one take of that because, frankly, we could do it 50 more times, and I don't know if timing-wise it could have gotten better than that. Which I think puts a lot of... I don't know, pressure, but a lot of responsibility on everyone's shoulders individually because, you know, Dean Semler is an Academy Award-winning cinematographer and our set designers are, you know, our Academy Award winners. You know, we have people who are, you know, truly gifted, artistic people. These are not hacks. And so my responsibility, and I think all the other actors, feel that responsibility to live up to that and to try to do our job as best we can. But also to just have fun because, you know, it's Get Smart. It should just be fun. And so far, everybody, I have to say, is having a ball. I think this is the most fun I've ever had doing anything. It's every day we just laugh like little kids.
For someone who hasn't seen the TV show, what's this movie about? Who are these characters?
This version of the TV show, first of all, it's set in as I said before, sort of a parallel world in which one of America's secret spy organizations is called Control, and their nemesis spy organization is called Chaos, who ostensibly are out to take over the world. And each side has various characters that go up against each other. Eccentric, crazy, some silly, some very serious. The version that we're doing is more of an origin story in terms of where this character of Maxwell Smart came from, how he came to be a field operative. And so we just thought that would be an interesting way into the story, as opposed to just, you know, picking him up on his journey.
And how does he get into the business?
Well, he starts. He works for Control at the beginning of the movie, but as an analyst, and he's invaluable because he speaks many different languages, and he can read. Essentially, he's a tech nerd. He listens to chatter. and he can assimilate information, and he's very good at that, and he gets great reconnaissance done from the office. But his goal and dream has always been to become an agent. But he's never stepped up. But some things transpire that enable him to step into that position. He finally gets his chance at sort of an advanced age.
What did you do to prepare physically for this role, since this is an action movie? And I know
jiu-jitsu for 15 years. Taekwondo, the last 8 months straight, 8 hours a day. I've been working out. You know, I've been trying to, because frankly, I knew some of these things would kill me if I didn't. There are some stunts in this that Pete, our director, will say, you think you can do that? And of course, you know, 50 people are standing around. You say, yeah, sure. Hang me up by the ceiling, and I'll fly in and smash against the side of the bus. And it's been really fun. Because, again, the people who are doing it, like hanging you from wires and crashing you into things, are so good that I have a very high level of trust. And you kind of have to in order to commit to it, to be able to sort of act while you're hanging 30 feet in the air, you know, rappelling off of an airplane or something.
Any accidents happen on set yet, or
no?
Or
no.
Pranks?
No, not so far. Pranks? I'm trying to think. Well, not so much a prank, but Anne Hathaway has started the Alan Arkin fan club, and she had T-shirts printed up with A squared FC on them, black T-shirts, and she's given them to a bunch of women in the crew, and they're kind of walking around being his sort of female fan base, and I think he loves it, frankly.
We just watched you do several different versions of the same line, sort of an improv kind of thing. Have you been improvising a lot on this film?
Yeah, it's called DVD Extra, because none of that stuff will see the light of day. You know, it's like, yeah, try another one. And I'm thinking to myself, they'll never use this. This is so going to be, you know. And that's what it turns out to be, is that they, you know, they have a four-disc CD of bloopers. But it's fun. I mean, but you never know, because you can get it as scripted and it's fine. And then if you go fishing a little bit and try a few more, Pete is always very amenable to that. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun to play around and just see what other sort of attitudes. Because also, I think it's giving him an option when he starts to edit, because he's not sure exactly where the tone will be at a certain part of the movie or what you'll need. Will you need a joke? Will you need something more serious? So to, you know, to give him some options to play with, I think, is always helpful.
You also gave him R-rated material for the unrated
cut. Right, that's more for me than for anybody else. Because sometimes, yeah. There's some stuff, I mean, clearly on NBC you're not going to see, but there is some really foul language that does not end up in some of those scenes that is nipped and tucked. But it's fun. You know what? And part of it, honestly, is it kind of adds a buoyant feel to the crew in general. Because, you know, end of a sort of a long week, and if you just sort of kind of get silly, even if you know that it's not specifically going to be in the movie, or a piece of it might be, it's worth it, because it sort of energizes everybody and yourself, you know, just to have fun and try to make everybody laugh. That's kind of the crux of that.
Anne mentioned that she was signed for 2 movies. Are you signed for 2?
I'm signed for 14 movies.
And also, we might have seen a little bit of a clip of a montage they were showing.
Oh, you might have?
Yeah. Well,
I heard you were skirted away. Perhaps. You are not allowed to see. How much did you see of it?
I saw enough to know that you looked like you enjoyed yourself in this movie, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, but I wanted to ask about the fat suit.
Uh-huh.
We saw, I think, a fat suit, a gray suit.
Mm-hmm.
How was acting in the fat suit?
It's actually more comfortable than you would think. I think it's made of essentially foam rubber, and the day we shot that, incidentally, was the day that the hill here was on fire. and we were outside. And they were saying, hey, do you mind doing the obstacle course scene? It's a little smoky, but and literally it's like, I thought, I am never going to breathe again after today. But yeah, the guy who does that was also the special effects makeup guy on Evan Almighty, Dave Anderson. And he's done all of our special effects makeup on this movie. And there's some pretty, pretty amazing bits that you'll see when they allow you to see the entire thing. I think they just didn't want to give away any spoilers that might be kind of in there. But I saw that. It was for a party that we had. And I saw it for the first time just before the party. And I think the reasoning behind editing that together was, again, kind of keep morale up and get the crew and cast to see what, you know, you see the fruits of their labor and where it's going. And people were so excited. I mean, it was a halfway through party, and you could just feel spirits raise up after that. For me personally, it was very exciting because it was much more. And Leonard Cernz, they were showing it to him. There's much more action than, because you read the action on the page, but then day to day, you're so, you know. I got the sense that this, I think it'll be very funny. But then when I saw what they had put together, it's funny, but there's also it's real. It's not goofy, silly action. It's real. It looks like an action movie, which I think is pretty cool. I don't know. It's got me psyched.
When you hear that there's going to be a Get Smart movie, you start running through your head of all the things that you loved about the show and what's going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
So things like the
and I'm not allowed to tell anything.
The cone of silence and stuff like that. Do you have any of those cool like gadget things?
I'm not telling. I can't say.
We already know about the shoe phone.
Oh, then it's all in.
Are you a big gadget guy in real life?
I mean,
no, God, I'm so the opposite of a gadget guy. I don't text. I don't have a BlackBerry. I don't literally sell. I just have a cell phone that I haven't programmed, and the whole Bluetooth. I don't even have an earpiece for my cell phone.
This is in your shoe?
It's not in my shoe. But yeah, I think with the shoe phone, they had a very, I thought, clever way of incorporating the shoe phone into the movie in terms of why would that technology be in a modern day movie. And I think they had a really, because people want to see that. And I frankly wanted to use it. But they were able to incorporate it seamlessly in terms of why this guy would use one.
Can you talk about next season? You guys are being moved to 9:00 on
NBC
on Thursdays, and that's the iconic spot that many shows have occupied. And does it mean anything to you? Or the?
It means that we are now a historical show that will go down in the annals of history.
Are you going to make an Office movie?
The Office movie. How boring would that be? God. Just fluorescent light for an hour and a half. Everyone was really excited about that move. And it's a huge vote of... I think NBC has bought 30 episodes this season, so they're very, very serious about it. They're starting with five... We're starting with 5 one-hour episodes. So they're really throwing a lot of resources behind it, which is interesting because 3 years ago we were hanging on by a thread. I mean, I think we had an order for four, and so it was something they were just going to kind of stick in and see if it kind of worked. And I think Kevin Riley had everything to do with that. He's been a champion of the show since day one.
Can you comment about Max's relationship with 99?
What would you like me to comment about?
Where does it start and where does it evolve?
It is a hyper, hyper sexual relationship. And the movie will be XXX. It's a totally different take on Get Smart. Actually, that makes me start thinking, like, what would the porn version of Get Smart be? Like, what names would you come up with? You'll have to rack your brain. I'll spend the rest of the day thinking of those. You know, it starts as I think you would think it would start, which is sort of acrimonious. 99 is a very seasoned spy veteran, and I'm the new guy in town and completely inexperienced in terms of any sort of field agent stuff. So so it kind of starts from there that it's like it's friendly, competitive, but there's a certain amount of animosity and rubbing each other the wrong way. And of course, what blossoms from that but love? So you know that's essentially how it starts. But it's you know it's a comedy too. So it's not. I don't think any of it is taken too seriously.
The original series had famous catchphrases. Do you think that while you're shooting, do you feel anything that your any kind of lines might hit big as a catchphrase?
Any like new lines?
New lines that
I have no. We're certainly not like throwing things out there as if we're thinking they would be catchphrases because I think that's. That is death in a bottle. If you start thinking, let me say this, like it's going to be a catchphrase, there's not a chance in hell it ever would be. I have no idea. I don't think we'd know until it comes out. Who knows? I mean, 16-year-old boys across the country may be saying, who's Skidoo? I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea what there could be. And that would be great. And incidentally, those, because there are a few of those from the original, kind of seasoned, you know, sprinkled through. And those are very, they're challenging to say because I don't want to say them, you know, with like a Don Adams, I don't want to be doing an impersonation. And yet, and it's all you can hear. It's the only voice you can hear. You know, when you say, would you believe? It's you just hear his voice. So there's like kind of striking a balance between incorporating it into like sort of a new character but keeping an essence of the original one.
Are you tempted to do his voice at times?
Not really. I mean, sometimes it's the voice you just hear in your head. And I think there's a like kind of a stiffness to the character that sort of parallels what he was doing, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about our newfound catchphrases.
All right. And on that note, I actually think that Amy came back.
Oh, okay.
Back to work.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Season finale tonight.
I bet you never.
Oh, season finale tonight, yeah.
Yes.
You were great at yourself in that
film. Oh, I heard that is great. I heard it's hysterical. I haven't seen it yet.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No, very good.
I heard it's really good.
It's a really great movie.
It's going to be.
I'm sure it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
He knows.